You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Tuesday. We are back and doing it. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. We did intend to do a two for Tuesday today to make up for, to have the daily show as well as make up for a show lost yesterday. We did two for Monday. We are doing just one for two reasons today. Number one, I have plans with my mom. So that limits me on time. And while I could come back and do another one, and I don't necessarily have something that I want to particularly talk about, we're probably going to be switching, for those of you who watch on video, because it took like 8 hours yesterday to upload both episodes. It usually takes about 4 hours an episode. And where I'm currently staying, I'm in an intermittent place as I try to buy a house. Looking for a house. I found one, just kind of waiting to see if that goes through and all that. The internet here is so intermittent that when it's uploading, I can't use the internet and I have no cell service here. So all work, play, everything stops when we do the podcast. So for 4 hours. So we're just doing one today, uploading the one while I'm at the movie and with my mom. And probably from here on in, maybe I have to decide, we're going to probably switch to a 1080p rather than 4K file because it's just taking up way too much. So that's the announcements. It's like between worship and the service at church, you know, I get the announcements in right off the top. So today what we are going to do is we are going to talk about two different things, both related. I hinted to it yesterday. I came up with the idea. Well, someone else kind of came up with the idea. And I kind of ran with it of who else could switch positions and who has switched positions with Michigan. So I want to go over those who did switch positions first, then go to my eight hypothetical players who could switch positions, and then we'll finish up with a couple news and notes. So that's what we're going to do. So let's start with those who have switched positions. Not all of them are like big major position switches. I didn't include offensive linemen switching positions because Michigan, since Jim Harbaugh took over, offensive linemen have mostly cross-trained to play every position. That's not necessarily the case for like edge rusher to interior guy. And some guys have made that wholehearted change back and forth. And not all of these are permanent position switches either. But we'll give them kind of some grades as to how it worked out as we go through this. And this is a relatively long list. So this is probably going to take me about 7-8 minutes. So let's go. Let's do it. Let's go with the number one guy that Jim Harbaugh's had play multiple positions. And that's Jabril Peppers. Jabril was counted as playing something like 10 or 11 positions. You're really getting technical with that term, but that's what Jim Harbaugh said, because he's like, you know, really breaking things down as to like nuance. You know, he's playing, he can play safety, he can play, you know, Viper, he can play nickel, he can play corner, he can play kick returner, he can play punt returner, he can play quarterback, he can play wide receiver, he can play wildcat quarterback, he can play, you know, all of these different things. But he came originally in 2014 as a safety. He was a safety in 2015, but then when Don Brown came in 2016, converted to Viper. And then, you know, in the meantime, his offensive prowess, I mean, the first time he got inserted on offense in 2015 against MSU, Mark D'Antonio called two consecutive timeouts to account for him, scored multiple touchdowns. Certainly, everyone thought he could score more. People were waiting to see him pass the ball. It didn't happen, but he played multiple positions on the offense, but the pep cap became kind of a repetitive, monotonous thing, but he did kind of a little bit of everything, kind of a master of all trades, or a jack of all trades, master of none to some degree, because he was above average everywhere, but he wasn't like stand out in your face at one position. So Jabril Peppers is number one. I mean, that's an A. Lawrence Marshall, he came in as an edge rusher, bulked up. They moved him to defensive tackle in 2017, ended up being relatively productive. I give that one a B. Chase Winovich. People might be sitting there and be like, what? Chase Winovich? Chase Winovich came in as a four-star linebacker, Then he switched over to tight end. He was a special teams guy. He was a gunner on special teams. I'll never forget like his adamance before the 2015 Penn State game. Like, I'm going to play special teams this game. Can you please get a picture of me? Made the switch there, bulked up, became a defensive end, and the rest is history. That's an A+. A+. He was so good. He was one of Michigan's best edge rushers in the Jim Harbaugh era. Zach Gentry, quarterback, recruited as Jim Harbaugh's first quarterback in 2015 out of Texas. He flipped from Texas, got that opportunity to compete at quarterback in 2015, switched over 2016, 2017-ish to tight end, really started getting going in 2017. And that one's also an A+. I mean, he went from being a... while people will remember the bad that happened in the 2018 Ohio State game, he went from being a guy who wasn't seeing the field to a drafted tight end. Jared Wengler was a linebacker. Now he leads Valiant Management. He was a linebacker who, in his senior year, converted over to fullback, even scored a touchdown. I'm going to give that one a B because it didn't necessarily have big dividends, but it was a good cognizant move, and he's still with the program in a way. Like, not with the program, but working with it. This next one's an A+. I'm going to tell you right there. And then Khalid Hill was a tight end who converted to fullback. Hammer and Panda scored the most touchdowns for the team in 2016. It was just an A++ move. Carlo Kemp, edge rusher along with Rashawn Gary, bulked up, moved inside. I'm going to give that one a B+. I think he was beyond solid. And that's what I got. Kalik Hudson came in as a safety, eventually became a linebacker and your hybrid linebacker as the Viper. He was arguably the best Viper Michigan had. I'm going to give that an A. Ben Mason, he was kind of all over the place. Came in, thought to be a fullback. They switched him to linebacker. They switched him back to fullback. They bulked him up, put him at 3 technique. Slimmed him back down and put him to fullback. Very good player for Michigan. I'm going to give the position switches an F because the meddling did no good when he got put in the Wisconsin game at fullback after having not played that position for an entire offseason. It came with disastrous results. The position switches are an F. He was a fullback through and through or an H-back, whatever you want to put him in. Hassan Haskins. People, what? Hassan Haskins? He was recruited as a running back. He played running back, yes, but when he arrived on campus in 2018, they converted him to linebacker. It was at the end of 2018 when Caron Higdon opted out of the bowl game. They moved him back to running back. That's when the long, long-time listeners of this show will remember I had told you that a source had told me that he was the most physically gifted running back on the team. And I hammered that home for years until it became true. But he was a linebacker for a minute and switched back to running back. That's an A+. True Wilson was a safety, walk-on safety who converted to running back. He was a decent third option for Michigan. In 2019, he's a B. Jordan Glasgow, another walk-on, third Glasgow brother to walk-on, go from walk-on to scholarship to NFL draft. He was a safety, bulked up, became a starting linebacker in 2019. That one is an A. Michael Barrett came as an offensive weapon, a quarterback of Valdosta Lounge, and he converted immediately to the defensive side. Started off kind of at a defensive back safety type position, special team star. Linebacker, Viper was okay. And then after the 2021 Michigan State game, they focused more fully on him at linebacker, and he has started to thrive. I'm going to give that one a B+ for right now because he's got room to grow. Benedict Arnold Van Sumeren, who came to Ann Arbor as a linebacker. He was converted to a running back, fumbled in the Army game, and was converted back to linebacker. Didn't fit Mike McDonald's scheme, according to him, to me. what he said to me the day before he announced his transfer to MSU and then transferred to rival MSU, that one's an F. That didn't work. Philip Pio is an offensive lineman who had converted to defensive tackle. We never really saw him. That one's just a C. You know, we've still got a bunch left, and we're already at 10 minutes. So we're going to continue on and continue with this list. Then we'll start the next one, and if the news and notes only take just a couple minutes, it does. So anyway, the midway point of the NBA season is here and now, and it's the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scores and threes drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at bigger payouts with a same-game parlay. So don't miss this chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. I don't know if you could hear a growling Zuri during that, but if you're not listening on Amazon Prime, then you may have heard a growling Zuri during the ad read. Little watch puppy. She's actually terrible. When I come home, she doesn't do anything. If she thinks she hears anything else, she goes nuts. All right, let's get back to our list. We've got a lot more here. I think about 10 more. I mean, I don't have these numbered. I think I can do that real fast here. Let's see. Can I? I don't know if I know how to do this on the phone. I don't know that I know how to do this. But here we go. It's 27 guys in the Jim Harbaugh era I have. And I'm not even including like Mason Cole, you know, being like a left tackle and then a center, you know, Cesar Ruiz being a left guard and then a center. I'm not even counting some of those guys. Our 17th guy on the list is Jess Spate. He was a walk-on offensive tackle, younger brother of Wilton Spate. Converted to a defensive tackle in 2019, I believe sometime midseason, even though he's on the roster earlier in the year as a defensive tackle. You know what? He was out there early, now that I remember. He was out there in game one. But he got his first start of the season in the Alabama game. He didn't do terrible. Wasn't like eye-opening, but he actually ended up being pretty good at that position in 2020. Not enough to get drafted or anything of that nature, but I'm going to give that one a B. George Johnson was a quarterback from Port St. Lucie, Florida. Or no, he was from Stuart, Florida, which is the area in which my grandma has a condo. Or no, it's not a condo. I don't know what I'm talking about. It's a house. Nonetheless, he was a quarterback. He came as a wide receiver. He was converted to a cornerback, and then he ended up transferring to UMass last offseason, where he is, again, a wide receiver. I'm going to give that one a D. So it is what it is. Iman Dennis, the opposite. Mike Sainristil, also from New England, from Massachusetts, has the same body type, same kind of everything as Mike Sainristil. He comes in as a defensive back, and he converts over to a wide receiver before last season. This one's an incomplete because we just haven't seen him at all. Incomplete. Joel Honigford spent 4 years as an offensive tackle. And then in 2020, they started moving him outside and playing him at tight end. And then between 2020 and 21, he slimmed down and became a legit tight end, mostly of the blocking type. Did catch a pass against Nebraska. But I'm going to give that one a B+. That was really good. Julius Welskoff came in as an edge rusher. They bulked him up. He was an interior defensive tackle in 2020. He stayed there for 2021. He slimmed back down and became an edge rusher again in 2022. I'm going to give that one a D because it just feels like they just messed with him, and now he's transferred to Charlotte, and we never really got to see his potential. Jack Stewart was an offensive tackle who converted to defensive tackle. We never really saw him. He transferred to not Ole Miss, but UConn. And he's not really doing anything there either. I'm going to give that one an incomplete. Next one's also an incomplete, is Dom Judice. He was he came in as a defensive tackle. He converted to offensive line. Was injured all last year and in street clothes. We have no idea. Mike Sainristil, wide receiver from 2019 through 2021, converts to cornerback, made the play of the season against Ohio State. As an A++, just scratching the surface, plus team captain, all of that stuff. Kalel Mullings got his, he was a linebacker, got some running back go in spring ball, fumbled, didn't play running back again until the Ohio State game, had a big throw in the Ohio State game to Luke Schoonmaker, one of the fun plays of the game of many, had two touchdowns rushing in the Purdue game, but then had the fumble again in the college football playoff on the botched handoff. I'm going to give that one a B+, and I know people probably aren't going to be happy with that, but he did some good, and then he had one bad thing in the season. So that's what that is. And the next two are both incomplete because we don't know. And that's Amarion Walker being a two-way player, cornerback, wide receiver, currently starting at cornerback in spring ball, and Alessandro Lorenzetti moving from offensive tackle to defensive tackle. But we don't know. We'll find out. So those are the guys that have switched. So I came up with eight more guys that could switch. So let's go ahead and get to those. We'll do the first four, then we'll do the next four, and then we'll do the one news item, that I wanted to get to. Now, I want to preface this by saying this is all hypothetical, and nor does this mean like permanent position switch. They are locked into this position. This is the only thing they're doing from here on in. That is not what I'm saying. It could be like a Jabril Peppers type thing or a Kalel Mullings type thing. Because remember, Kalel Mullings scored a touchdown and then was in on the very next play to make a tackle on defense. The very next, you know, regular from snap, from scrimmage snap. So I'm not saying that it could be a permanent. Some of them, maybe, yeah, you might make this first one permanent. That's Alex Orji. And we talked about him on the mailbag. That was where this all kind of emanated from. He is a quarterback as of current, but he is 6'3", 235. That is the perfect size to be either a linebacker or a fullback. And you could totally see in a situation where you've got a lot of depth at the quarterback position, especially if Michigan brings in Jaden Davis or a Michael Van Buren, the heir apparent to the current regime, which is J.J. McCarthy, potentially Davis Warren, depending on how things kind of go. Maybe even Jack Tuttle, you don't know. Jaden Denegal's had a really good spring. You could certainly convert Alex Orji to, if you want to keep the ball in his hands, and certainly, I mean, he's a dual threat quarterback. That makes sense. You could make him a running back. You could make him a fullback. Bunch of things you could do there. Or you could convert him to linebacker because he already has that size. And he could be maybe a Michael Barrett 2.0 and still have him for other things. The next one would be not a full-time position switch because he's way too valuable at his current position, and that's Junior Colson. And you're going to look at me and say, what? So if you go way, way back, I interviewed Junior Colson in 2020 after he had committed. He had signed. I did like a signee series or commitment series. Yeah, he hadn't signed yet, but I did like a commitment series. And he had played running back at the high school level and was already lobbying the coaches to play, to get the ball in his hands. And I ask him constantly, like, do you still lobby the coaches? He's like, yeah, I want that ball in my hands. I'm not saying it's a full-time switch. Way too valuable. He's the most valuable linebacker Michigan has. But do you maybe have a package for him? And that is bordering on getting way too cute. Absolutely. But do you have a package for him? Does he still have it in him? He thinks so. I'd be curious to see. Maybe not at, like, you know, tie game or down a score against Ohio State, but you know, playing Indiana, playing Rutgers, playing East Carolina, sure, why not? Michael Barrett, could he be a guy who switches back from linebacker to quarterback? am not. I believe he's had two throws special teams wise. I did note the one to AJ Henning in the Maryland game. He had another one. I can't remember what game it was. I believe it was in 2019 on special teams where he threw the ball. Could you put him in and just have it, and or even as a running back? Because he's clearly got the ability. We saw him make some moves when he had the two interception returns, including one for a touchdown at Rutgers last year. I would be very curious to see what he could do if you put him out. He was brought in as an offensive weapon and they switched him to defense immediately. I'd be curious to see if he could still be an offensive weapon. All right, finishing out before we go to segment three, this next one would be a part-time thing only. And I want you to hear me out here. Where's number two? I'm not talking about Blake Corum. Talk about Will Johnson. What does number two signify if you were a cornerback? Charles Woodson, who did it all. Could Will Johnson do it all? We've seen him come in the latter end of the season and just be like an interception machine. Cornerbacks or defensive backs generally don't have the ball skills that he has. Put him in on offense every now and again. I'm advocating for this. See what he can do. Have him run a few routes. Get him a couple touchdowns. Make him the second ever. This feels like more like not this year, but next year, but maybe this year. Make him the second ever defensive Heisman. I think he has that capability in him. He is that athletic. He is that good. Again, not a permanent position switch, but hypothetically, you could see him having that capability. All right, let's continue on. I've got four more coming up, and then we want to talk about Jesse Minter because that whole thing, you can all take a deep breath. You can all relax. Everything is good. We'll do that here in a moment. All right, let's continue on with my list of hypothetical position switches for Michigan players. Again, you don't have to agree with all these. Don't get mad at the comments, in the comments rather. The comments like on YouTube in particular, they went from being pretty like decent over the last like couple months. I sign on today and it's just a bunch of dreck again. Guys, number one, listen to the words I have to say. If I say like someone told me this and if I say that, I am not saying that. I am saying someone told me this. And if you get mad for my opinion, okay, fine. If I forget something, I'm human. You don't have to melt down over it. Just be kind to one another. And that includes being kind to me. You know? Be kind to the other people there. Be kind to me. I'm trying to entertain you. But some of y'all just get really mad for some reason. All right, Zach Zinter. And I know I feel your blood boiling with some of this. Now, this is not going to happen. This is more of like, I'm going to call this football perversion in my mind, because I sat there and thought between him and Keegan, which one is more of the mauler bruiser type? Because how many times have you seen Zach Zinter just riding a guy well away from the spot he wants to be in? 6'6", 315. Just imagine lining him up at defensive tackle, what he could do. I don't think someone else is going to be able to do that to him. He has the inside knowledge of what an offensive, like what a guard wants to do. You put him in at three tech, I think he'd be pretty good. It's never going to happen. I'm not even advocating for it. I just kind of want to see it. I want to see what that would look like, because I think it would be really good. Good enough to where you take him away from his current spot? No. But still pretty good. Up next is one that's already, it's something that's always kind of been rumored. It's kind of somewhat happened. It wouldn't be a full-time switch, and that's Donovan Edwards, running back to wide receiver. I hope that they do this much more next year. And it made sense last year, especially after he had injured his hand in the latter half of the season, why you didn't see it. But I want to see him split out wide more. He's already kind of rumored to be Michigan's best wide receiver, have the best hands on the team. He's an absolute mismatch. But that's also why you keep him in at running back, because it keeps teams on their toes, defenses on their toes. But I think you have some wiggle room, especially if a guy like C.J. Stokes or Tavier Dunlap or Cole Cabana or Benjamin Hall, if Isaiah Gash, who's on scholarship now, if one of those guys takes a big step this offseason, you can play around a little bit. And then you can also have him run jet sweeps. You can have him do some of the stuff that you've seen A.J. Henning kind of do. So this one isn't really far-fetched, even if it kind of feels like it, because he already kind of plays this role in some ways. And we've seen him split out wide. We've seen him run routes. We've seen him do those types of things. He is fully capable of it. So this one's kind of in a way already happened, but I'd be curious to see if it happened more. Up next, A.J. Henning, wide receiver, kick returner as of current. What to do with A.J. Henning? That dude is so talented, and last year I had him as my breakout player, and he went far backwards, had like a quarter of the production, if not less, going from 2021 to 2022. People have talked about his hands and, you know, just not being that receiver that you thought he could be. What do you do with a guy that maybe is a receiver that doesn't catch the ball? Well, you move him to defensive back. He is so athletic. He is so capable. What would it look like if you gave him the Mike Sainristil treatment? Maybe make him the backup to Mike Sainristil with the idea that the next year he'd take over. Get him on the field. You find a way to get him on the field. You can still kick off to him and all that kind of stuff, but just get him on the field. I'm curious what that would look like. I think that would be a really good move. I think that is one that I'm advocating for, unless they find a way to recapture some of the glory of 2021. My final one here is Trent'e Jones. Currently right tackle and got the start at the beginning of the season. And then he lost his job after his injury because Carson Barnhart, who he was in a battle with, ended up excelling in that role. We saw a little bit of a rotation there. What if you did? I mean, the precedent's been set because Joel Honigford, he did the same thing in 2020 that Trent'e Jones did in 2021, which is come in as an extra lineman, be that tight end type. What if you said the same thing to Trent'e Jones? Listen, we think that you have that experience of being that sixth guy. What if we slim you down? Maybe we throw the ball to you a little bit. Joel Honigford always said that those guys want to be able to catch the ball. You know, and some have had that experience. Like Ryan Hayes used to be a tight end in high school. Trent'e, I don't believe, was. But what if you tried to slim him down? And then that way you have both him and Carson Barnhart on the field at the same time, because you have an embarrassment of riches on the offensive line. You're not going to get to be able to play everybody. You maybe keep someone from transferring in this route. It's an option, and there's precedent for it. All right, we've only got a couple minutes left, so that's my list. Do with it what you will. It's not rocket surgery. It's just a list. It's just a hypothetical. It's just having fun. But before we sign off here, I do want to get to the news that Jesse Minter looks to be here to stay, barring some other NFL team coming calling, because while we've been doing this podcast, Nick Sirianni officially announced it, apparently. But it was confirmed by Pete Carroll earlier today at the NFL Combine that Sean Desai is departing Seattle for the defensive coordinator position with the Philadelphia Eagles. So you can write that off. We discussed it a little bit on the mailbag on Monday. It is done. It is officially going to be Jesse Minter season 2. Great news for Michigan. You have the continuity you were hoping for. Despite losing a co-offensive coordinator, you have the primary offensive coordinator and Sherrone Moore back. You've got really pretty much everybody coming back. Only new faces are familiar faces. Kirk Campbell, who's been in the building the last year. Chris Partridge, who at least was in the building from 2015 through 2018 or 2019, rather. So you're running things back. Really, you truly are. That is awesome news for Michigan. Everyone can take a big, deep breath. That's going to do it for us today. We'll be back on Wednesday, and I'm sure we'll find plenty of things to talk about because there seem to be things that I've been writing about here. So anyway, thanks for watching. Thank you for listening. We'll be back soon. Peace.